So last week I turned 32, and on my birthday, my kids, my wife got me one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, one of my new favorite things, and it's a Jedi lightsaber pen. And because I've kind of elevated a Jedi level 10, I just keep working up, you know, but this pen has become one of my new favorites. I love it. How many of us have had a pen, whether it's a favorite or non-favorite? Because sometimes how many of us know there's pens we like and pens we don't, right? Not any of us are too judgy on our pens, but we are, let's be honest. We get judgy on everything. But how many of us have ever taken a pen and lost it, dropped it down in your car when you're trying to write a check or you're trying to do something and you need a pen in that moment? I can't tell you how many times I've dropped a pen. Not this one, because I haven't dropped it yet. I'm keeping it really close. But dropped a pen. I got to write a check. I got to do something. I got to sign something. I take an order for work. And now it's stuck down in my seat. How many times have I dug in there and I've scraped my hands and I can see it? Turn to your neighbor and say, I can see it. Oh my gosh, I can see it. But I can't get to it. I can see it, but I can't get to it. And so this morning, to start the thought, to continue in our journey with the Jewish people, to understand I can see it, but yet many of us can't grab it. It's there, and I see it. I just have a hard time getting a hold of it. With that, we'll go to our Bibles, Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 1. And it says this. In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin, camped at Kadesh, where they were. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people to drink at that place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into the wilderness to die along with all of our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, it has no figs, it has no grapes, no pomegranates, and even no water to drink." Verse 6. Moses and Aaron turned away from the people, and he went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. The glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron must take the staff, assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out the water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community," the whole community, "and their livestock." Verse 9. So Moses did as he was told, for the most part. He took the staff from the place it was kept before the Lord, and then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebel scum," he shouted. "Must we bring water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out. The entire community and their livestock drank their fill. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving them. This place was known as the waters of Meribah, which means arguing, because there the people of Israel argued with the Lord, and there he demonstrated his holiness among them." And so this morning, as we pick up in our story, we're following the Jewish community. And where are they headed? They're headed to the place of promise. They're headed to the land flowing with milk and honey. It looks just like Hemet. It is beautiful and it's wonderful. They are headed on this journey. And at this point in the story, you know what it's been? It's been 37 years. 37 years since the day they sent out 12 spies. Remember the 12 spies they sent out to spy out the land? There was 12. Two men were really cool, and the other 10 were not so cool. 37 years. And by this time, there was a generation that had been gone and been passed away. And there was a new generation rising up. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you part of the new generation? Are you part of the new generation? 37 years, but it's also been 40 years since they left Egypt. 40 years is a long time, especially when you're 32. 40 years seems like forever. Can you believe it? 40 years. 40 years. And we see in the 37, 40 years, this journey, it's been up, it's been down, it's been all around. There's battles that have been won, there's battles that have been lost, there's been situations of blessing, which we love, but there's also been situations and seeing the consequences of sin. And this morning, how many of us, we stop and we pause, even though this happened just a few years back, humanity and our emotions and our thought life, we have not changed one bit. We haven't progressed. We haven't become butterflies. We have not become something. We are still the same. Their journey speaks to us and to our journey this morning. And so they found themselves at this point in the story in a dry spot. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you in a dry spot? Desert. Right? Desert, dry, there was nothing. They were describing to Moses, there's no pomegranates, there's no figs, there's no grapes, there's nothing good here. Have you ever said that? There's nothing good here. There is nothing, 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 nothing good here. They found themselves in a very dry place. It's like most of us say by August, September in Hemet, it's so hot. Can't wait for the winter, right? And then when it's winter, we can't wait for the summer. But anyway, they ran out of water. And they start saying, I'm so thirsty. I am so stinking thirsty. How many of you have ever been so thirsty to the point of you wanted maybe even to hurt somebody? Get a little angry, get a little mad, get a little frustrated? They were so thirsty. They were thirsty. Give me a drink, please. We're gonna die. My kids, my babies. See little Johnny, isn't he cute? And little boo-boo over there, so cute. Don't let us die here. We are so thirsty. Thirsty, thirsty. How many times along the journey had they got into this tough spot of being thirsty, hungry, thirsty, hungry? And how many of us go through seasons of life hungry, thirsty, spiritually, physically? Nothing seems to meet what I need in this moment. Thirsty, hungry, thirsty. You know, what we drink really describes the kind of people we are. Water, you know, soda, Coke, Pepsi. It's kind of like gangs, you know, you're in Pepsi or you're in Coke gang, you know, I mean, people are really adamant about Pepsi or Coke. It really, truly describes what we put into these bodies. But more than what we drink physically, how many of us know it's what we chase spiritually that really reflects who you are? We're all thirsty people. We are. We all like to drink. We all like to drink something. We all like to drink something. We are thirsty people, and what you chase after to satisfy that thirst, it reflects the type of person that you are. And so for them, they were so thirsty, they started doing the if only. And I love their if onlys. This one's good. If only. And you know what they said? If only we died with our brothers. And you know, if you just rewind a minute before this, there was a few guys who decided, you know what? We don't like Moses. Let's kill him. And so they got together a gang, and they said, you know what? This guy, Moses, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where we're going. He doesn't even know why we're here. Moses is crazy. So they formed this little gang. After forming this little gang, Moses finds out about it, and he says, you know what? Let's stand before the Lord. Those who are right will be alive, and those who are wrong will be dead. And exactly the next day, as they gather, the three men who started this, you know what happened to them? The ground opens up. Them, their wives, and their kids get sucked into the earth and die. After that, 14,700 people die. Why? Because their hearts, people, humanity, continuing to be rebellious and not want to listen to God and not wanting to listen to a man that God had put them there, to put him there to lead the people. And so they said, if only we died with our brothers. If only we died. If only we never left Egypt. How many times do we repeat those words, if only? We don't have, they went through their long list of all the things they didn't have. If only, if only, if only, if only. I wonder how many married people have said, man, if only I married somebody else. Nobody we know. How many people, if only I had a different job? If only. You know, the list goes on and on. We're so good at our if onlys. We're so good at these if onlys. Just like the Jewish community that speaks loud and clear. If only I had done this. And if only I have done that. And if only you left us in Egypt. We were slaves. What were they, when they were slaves in Egypt, were they happy? No. Were they happy in this moment? No. Some things don't change for those who don't listen. And so they say, if only. You know, while they're in the wilderness wandering for 40 years, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that had died. And the men and women who were alive, for some of them, they were standing back and watching. It wasn't that they were good. It wasn't that they were perfect. But they saw thousands of people die because they just could not stop sinning. The weird thing is, even people who were afraid, they died because of their fear. Even people who were afraid died in this time because they're afraid. And so Moses and Aaron did one of the best things they can always do. You know what they did? They prayed. Ah, prayed. How many people, there's songs about praying. We got to pray just to make it through today, right? Pray, 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 pray. You know, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful. It's a choice. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Choice again, for it's God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Moses and Aaron faced with people who were so mad at them. What did they do? They prayed. How many times have we said to ourselves, maybe I should pray? And how many times have we said to our friends, you should pray? And sometimes that answer seems so simple. Maybe it seems so mean telling somebody, you should go and pray. You need to pray. But you know what? Praying actually is one of the best things we can do for ourselves. Praying is good. We don't have to set out that goal, I'm going to pray 20 hours a day when there's 24 hours, and then it just never happens. But you got to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. If you don't pray daily, pray, pray, pray. It takes 5 minutes, takes a couple minutes. Go through all the lists of people you know and ask God to bless them. Could that hurt? All of your family members, pray that God blesses them. Pray, pray, pray. So as Moses and Aaron were praying, God speaks to them, and he says to them some very clear instructions. And when I'm doing something I've never done before, I prefer clear instructions. When I have to do something, a task, a job, computer work that I've never done before, real easy, simple, clear instructions are so nice, right? And so God gave Moses simple, clear instructions. What did he say? Speak to the rock. Just speak to the rock, and water will gush out. Speak to the rock. Sometimes we like to overcomplicate things. I don't know about you, but humanity, for some reason, simple sometimes is not something we like. We want to throw simple out the window, and we need to make it more complex, like playing volleyball in a pool, right? Or hot potato volleyball. Sometimes in life, we just want to make things way more complicated. Sometimes people, they just need drama. They need excitement. Simple, it's just too easy. God says to him, speak to the rock. And I wonder this morning to who God would say, you need to speak to your rocks. There's rocks that you have in your life. There's water waiting to be gushing out. Water ready, waiting to flow, to flood, to refresh you. You have to speak to the rock. Moses, instead of taking a simple instruction, did what a lot of us do it sometimes, and that is get frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated before? How many of us, we could have been frustrated this morning? How many of us on the way to church or before church or last night? How many of us deal with being frustrated at times? God said to him, speak to the rock, water will flow out. Moses takes matters into his own hands, something none of us have ever done before when God tells us what to do. And he says to the people, you are rebellious people, making us bring water out of the rock. Now notice, he didn't say, you're rebellious people making God bring water out of the rock. He said, you're rebellious people making us do this for you. Me. Moses, at this point, became so frustrated with the people. He defended these people so many times. There was times where God wanted to wipe out the whole Jewish community. And Moses said, no, stop, don't do it. But at this point, I guess Moses had enough. He was frustrated. What causes frustration? When expectations don't get matched, they don't match what we want and desire. Stress, unmet goals, misunderstandings, the daily hassles of life, being depressed, losing control over feelings and thoughts and emotions, unable to focus. Grief in our life, feeling disrespected, signs of frustration, anger, avoidance, changing in eating habits, and being annoyed, anxious, sometimes caused by opposition, perceived resistance of my goals. So I'm going to be frustrated. And I wonder this morning how many of us have ever been frustrated like Moses was. I'm just a little frustrated, a little angry in the moment. God's instructions that he gave to him, they were meant to be clearly and simply obeyed. And Moses, for whatever reason, and I would say give the guy a pass, right? He deserves a pass. Give him $200 for pass and go. These people were rebellious. They were mean. They were backstabbers. They constantly blamed Moses. They constantly wanted to fight him and take him out. People constantly were getting groups of other people together. Let's take down this guy because he doesn't know what he's doing. Every single day, can you imagine every week being there's a mob that is constantly against you? He had some good excuses for being frustrated, backstabbed, disrespected, so mean. But for whatever reason, the frustration mounted so high that he exploded. And maybe we get frustrated with one another at times, and there's not this great consequence. But when God asks us to do something, to get frustrated with what God's put in front of us and what he's put us here to do, what God has put us, every single one of us on this great planet Earth, called to be salt and light, called to make disciples, called to build the church, called to do the little things every single day, serving, loving, giving grace, giving food, giving money, all the things that God's put us here to do, to not allow life to get us frustrated with what God's put us here to do. Because when we're disobedient, things happen and things get sideways quick. How many of us have ever seen a situation get sideways quick? Deuteronomy 28:15 says, if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey the commands, decrees I'm giving you today, all curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns, your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets, breadboards will be cursed. Children, crops will be cursed. Offspring, your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you'll be cursed. Now, people could read this and say for a second, man, that seems mean. You know, if I don't do what God asked me to do, then all these bad things are going to happen to me. Well, how many of us would consider us mean parents when we told our kids, this is what I want you to do. This is what you need to do. You need to clean your room. You need to do this. You need to do that. Did you ever feel like a mean parent if you gave out a consequence because your kids didn't do what you asked? It's just when God says things, oh, man, it's when God tells us something then all of a sudden he's mean. But you're not mean when you tell somebody what to do. I don't think we look in the mirror and say, I'm mean. I'm just going to boss everybody around. Well, there's some people like that, right? We know. We at least know one person, right? Maybe two, maybe 10, who knows? With 7 billion people, there's a lot of bossy people out there. Disobedience, what we fail to see, what the Jewish community fails to see, disobedience to God and his word, we can look at it and say, oh, God's so mean, and we blame him, and we get mad because really we're faltering and we're failing. Instead of just understanding, God set forth principles, truth, and his word beginning to end. It doesn't matter who we are, what size, what color, what age, if you follow the truth of God's word, you will find a real good and satisfied life, because truth is Jesus. It's the only one you're going to find it. But when you disobey and you ignore his word, when you ignore the words of God, things just happen, and they happen quickly. And so as we go on our story, we jump right back into Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab, and he climbed the Pisgah peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan, all the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, extending to the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the Jordan Valley with Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised on oath Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter. Verse 5, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in the valley near Beth Peor in Moab. But to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. Moses, 120 years old, but his eyesight was clear, and his strength strong as ever. And the people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days until the customary period of mourning was over. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. The people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses. There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all of Moses. Moses had an enemy. And many of us this morning, we have the same common enemy. At some point in his life, he came face to face with one of the greatest enemies in life. It's himself. Because sometimes in life, we get so maybe vulnerable in moments. We don't catch ourselves, or we're not guarding ourselves. And then we allow things to hurt and destroy us. As you listen to The Rock, and obviously he's a lot buffer than most of us, the message, and it's funny, it is the same truth and principle that the Bible that we've been sharing from the very, very beginning of this theme and in this story, where Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight. And he wasn't just talking about being a believer and getting saved and going to heaven, but yes, he was saying that. He was saying to Timothy, you must fight for all that God has for you. As we continue on in this story, we're going to finish up shortly in the next month. We see the Jewish community, all that they lost, all that they went through in 40 years. One, because they were afraid. Fear. We think sometimes it's just sin that has consequences. Sin, and we think sin, we're thinking of bad things like murder and lust and adultery. It was fear that originally caused them. Fear that caused them to spin for 40 years. It caused men to die, families to die, because they were afraid to take of what God promised them. God had given them the land. There was just one problem. They had enemies there. They had real people. They were big and small. All they had to do was just trust God and going to take the land. But they were afraid. And how many of us, so many things and battles in life that we face every single day, but fear being one of the greatest enemies every single day. My title, as we started with, kind of like our pen, I can see it. I just can't grab it. I can see it, but I can't grab it. Spiritually today, I think there's a generation, there's a season of people who God has this massive, big, great blessings right in front of their face. They can see it. They just can't get it. I can taste it. Chocolate ice cream. Prime rib. Filet mignon. But I can't get it. I can't get it. I can't get it. Why? Because some of us are afraid to deal with one of the greatest enemies that we face in ourselves. Insecurities, fear, anger, like Moses, it was frustration. But then there's other things we know. There's lust and adultery and shame and all the other things, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But for Moses, you see, there was one thing for him that stopped him from possessing greater, and it was anger and frustration. When he was on top of that mountain, he could see the promised land, but he was blocked from entering. He could see it. He could see the milk flowing, honey dripping from trees. He could see the beauty and all that God promised, but he couldn't go in. Many of us this morning, we've learned in life, kind of like the rock. Man, if I work hard, if I get strong physically, mentally, man, I can do anything. And so you have a group of people, positive thinkers, people who are healthy, physically concerned about those kinds of things. Yes, if you work out and become strong, doesn't mean you're automatically going to be a successful person. You will become a strong person though, right? But there's one thing that we forget. Kind of like the people in the story. This wasn't the first time they were thirsty. They've been thirsty before. And the last time they were thirsty before, what happened? God provided water. When we get in a tough spot, sometimes we forget every single moment, why am I getting frustrated right now? God did this and took care of it back then, so wouldn't he take care of this right now? If God did it then, is God going to do it again today? If God did it for them, wouldn't God do it for me? If God did it in here and a little while ago, is not God going to do it for me also in this moment? The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus told a story. He says, the word of God, the seed, it gets scattered out like a farmer scattering seed. And what did he say about the enemy in that moment? He says, the enemy comes to snatch away the seed. The moment you hear truth, the battle is on. The moment you hear a seed of truth, there is a battle for who is going to accept that truth, if you're going to embrace that truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth, what happens? The truth will set you free. And there's just not one truth in life. There's many truths in here. There's one truth in Jesus, but there's many things that he needs us to accept. Yes, there's salvation. Yes, there's deliverance. Yes, there's healing. Yes, there's prosperity. Yes, there's blessing. Yes, there's a place of promise for every single one of us. Doesn't mean that it's a physical place, but a spiritual place of promise that when I get to, yes, it means that when I get to my place of promise, I don't just get to sit on the couch and eat bonbons. I have to continue to work. I have to continue to fight. I got to continue to move and flow the gospel, the goodness of Jesus Christ, because it's constantly moving. The things of the earth, though we can't hardly tell, but we're moving constantly, just as truth is constantly moving, just not everybody's willing to fight for that truth. Because many of us, instead of fighting for truth in the moment, we'd rather settle for something, maybe that we're feeling, maybe that we're thinking. So close that I can see it, I just can't grab onto it. And I wonder this morning, we can be strong, we can be powerful, we can produce beautiful, wonderful kids. You marry a pretty person, you marry a handsome person, you can produce wonderful kids. How many of us have learned you work hard at a job, yes, you can make some money. Those are not the things in the place of promise that God's referring to. Jesus said, when I go, he said, when I go, you will do greater things. Greater things does not mean that we're going to be able to bench press 500 pounds. Greater things doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery and have $200 million sitting in the bank. Greater things is being in a moment where God allows us to be a part of something that it is not humanly possible. God wants us, every one of us, to be a part of something that's not humanly possible. He wants to do something in me, in you, in us. He wants to move in such a way to show, to demonstrate how powerful, how amazing, that he alone is God. Greater things, better things, better days. We can work hard. And sure, man, we can make some things happen. But not one of us in here can make things happen like God does. And so as we start to wrap up, we start to wind down today, a couple things and a couple reminders. God told Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. There's things in every one of our lives, God's saying this morning, speak to your rock. Prophesy what you don't see, knowing that I can move on your behalf. Speak to the rock. If something is not there that is good, that is right, speak to that rock to allow, to watch God reign and bring nourishment. 2 Timothy, we know 2 Timothy, as we close with this verse, our verse that we've been in, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight, the true faith, hold tight the eternal life with God's called you to, which you have declared before so many witnesses. 1 Corinthians 9:25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I could be disqualified. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, determines the course of your life. Avoid perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Make a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from evil. And so our last few reminders, takeaway this morning. Fight the good fight. It takes discipline, it takes hard work, it takes being courageous, it takes being strong. With every lift, with every verse I'm reading, with every verse I'm taking in, man, I'm getting stronger. Man, with every Bible story that I'm soaking in, I'm getting stronger. Discipline to read my Bible, to soak it into my brain. With every worship song, man, I'm getting stronger. I'm singing about God, but it's making me stronger. I'm singing about him, but it's doing something inside of me. I'm singing to him, but there's something happening as I sing out to God. Discipline my body. Why? The writer of Proverbs. This was a little while back. Stop being sidetracked. And lastly, guard your heart. Moses lost everything because he wasn't guarded in a moment. And how many of us we would say, God is forgiving. Amen, hallelujah. God is graceful. Amen, hallelujah. But I wonder for like Moses, if there ever becomes a point with just the anger, the frustration, the one thing that is holding us back in life becomes so much, God says, you're just not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. Whether it's sin, he even said fear is sin. Fear, insecurity, anger, frustration, like Moses, lust, and the list goes on and on. Don't let your one thing be the thing that stops you from your place of promise. Let's pray.